Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, horror. Later on, it's Lights Out from 1942. But first, The Weird Circle, adapting Robert Louis Stevenson's story, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the syndicated episode from 1944.
Past, phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Every man is truly two beings, cursed with the struggle of good and evil within him. What would this duality be like, separated, each part living alone? The good companion, and then the pure and ugly evil of a man. That you, Poole?
Yes, Dr. Jekyll.
Come in. Did you get the salt?
Yes, sir. Finally, sir. But only 3 pounds of it. It was all the chemist had.
Good. It will suffice. Thank you, Poole.
Anything else, sir?
No, Poole. Good night.
I beg pardon, sir, if I may ask, is the experiment nearly done?
I think so, Poole. This time, I think it's really nearly done.
Oh, splendid, sir. Cook would be glad to hear it, too.
Yes,
good night, sir.
Good night. Yes, and a gram of salt. Your courage, Jekyll. Drink it. Before your eyes. There's breath in your other half, Jekyll. You've given him the miracle of life. The essence of the hidden evil in a man, Dr. Jekyll. The miracle of consummate evil come to life. The hidden soul of Jekyll. I am Mr. Hyde.
That night, like a shadow from an evil place, a stooped figure walked alone in the London streets. About him was a feeling of deformity and decay. He had come from the by-street door of Dr. Henry Jekyll's house, from his laboratory. And it was this same door he entered again when the first light of dawn dispelled the night. But during the day, the house and the laboratory were quiet, while the master slept. That evening, Mr. Utterson, the lawyer, stood before the bright fire in the library. Dr. Jekyll had sent for him.
This will is preposterous, Jekyll. I'm your lawyer, well, yes,
there's
but...
nothing to be so concerned about, Utterson. Edward Hyde is a new friend of mine. I want to be sure he's provided for in case something happens to me, that's all.
But nothing's going to happen to you. How could you just disappear, as you've stated in this testament?
Well, now, how could I know that, Utterson?
Well, it's strange, Jekyll, but if this is the way you want it...
Hyde has captured my interest, Utterson. His well-being is the one thing uppermost in my mind. I want to be certain, in case something does happen to me, that Hyde will be financially secure to carry on.
I see. Well, all right, Jekyll, as you wish. The will be ready for your signature in a few days. I'll bring it around myself.
Splendid, Utterson. Now, what about that spot of wine?
Thanks, no. Dr. Lanyon's expecting me.
Lanyon, huh?
He was only asking about you the other evening, Jekyll. We see you so seldom these days.
Well, I've been rather hard at it in the laboratory. Sure you can't stay.
Another time. Good night, Jekyll.
Good night.
Wonder who the devil this Edward Hyde is.
Mr. Utterson was the first of many Londoners who were to wonder about the hideous specter-like Mr. Hyde, who were to fear the shadows of night because of him. One evening, nearly a week later...
Here,
young fellow. What's the matter?
It's a monster, sir. He struck me with his cane. Help me, sir, please.
There. Nobody's going to hurt you. Now, where is this monster you speak of?
He was right behind me, sir. All the way from Clement Street. Look, there, under the corner light. You'll not let him come at me again, will you, sir? Will you?
No, my lad. No harm will come to you.
Oh, sir.
He's seen us now. Wait. By George, it is a monster.
Look, sir. He's making for that doorway. The small one in the shadow, just there.
So he is. Hey, here, fellow. Wait a minute there. Come along, my lad.
But, sir, don't let him...
It's all right now. Don't be afraid. You there. Did you strike this child?
If the ruffian molests me again, I'll strike him again.
What kind of a devil are you?
There's no gentleman but wishes to avoid a scene. It was an accident. Maybe this... pound note will ease the boy's pain.
Oh, no.
Take it, lad.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
Now, wait a moment. And this door. Isn't this Jekyll's laboratory? You must be Mr. Hyde. I'm an old friend of the doctor's, Utterson of Gaunt Street. You must have heard of me. I was just on my way to see Jekyll.
How did you know I'm Mr. Hyde?
Well, we have common friends.
Who are they?
Jekyll, for one. Come, let me see your face, Mr. Hyde. How well shall I know you when we meet again?
We shall not meet again, Mr. Utterson.
Well, so that is Hyde. Now, my lad, run along. I've got a call to make.
In this house, sir?
Yes, but at the front door. I want to see if Mr. Jekyll's in. Now, my lad, you run along home, and don't let me catch you out on the dark streets like this again.
Yes, sir, you won't, sir. Thank you.
Good evening, Poole.
Good evening, Mr. Utterson.
Dr. Jekyll home, Poole?
I'm afraid not, sir.
Thought sure he'd be here at this late hour.
And most gently he is, sir.
I just saw that Hyde fellow go in by the laboratory door. Is that right, when Dr. Jekyll's away from home?
Quite right, Mr. Utterson. Mr. Hyde has a key.
Your master seems to put a great deal of trust in him.
Yes, sir, he does indeed. We all have orders to obey him, though we see him seldom. He mostly comes and goes by the street door and at night, sir.
Well... tell Dr. Jekyll I'd like to see him as soon as possible and give him these papers, will you, Poole?
Yes.
I was talking with him about them a few days ago.
Yes, sir.
Night, Poole.
Good night, Mr. Utterson.
Now, the sword, Mr. Hyde. Hurry. Mix it well. Pour the powder in slowly. Now, drink it now. Look, the strength of God, Mr. Hyde. The triumphant strength of God. Watch your face. The terror of your eyes unclouding. Straightening of your crooked, evil soul. The masking of an ugly idol in the glass. It's the last of you, Mr. Hyde. You'll never exist again.
What?
Is that you, Dr. Jekyll?
Yes, Poole.
I'm so sorry, sir. I only just told Mr. Utterson that you were not at home.
I came in by the laboratory door, Poole.
But Mr. Hyde, sir...
Mr. Hyde is gone.
Oh, I see. Mr. Utterson left this paper, envelope, sir. He asked also to see you as soon as possible.
Well, thank you, Poole. Put it there.
Shall I bring you some chocolate, sir?
No. No, I'll go to bed. I'm very tired, Poole. I've been alone too much lately. What do you say to my taking your advice and having that dinner party?
Oh, that would be like old times, sir.
And we'll talk it over tomorrow.
Splendid, sir.
And, Poole, I don't think Mr. Hyde will be back again.
Good evening. Come right in, sir.
Dr. Lanyon and Miss Julie, come in.
Hello, Jekyll.
Good to see you out of that shell after all these months. This isn't going to be one of those stuffy dinner parties, is it?
Pay no attention to him, Dr. Jekyll.
Your hat and coat, Dr. Lennon.
Oh, yes, Poole. By the way, Jekyll.
Yes.
This is your walking stick, isn't it?
Why, so it is.
You went off with mine the last time you were over and left yours.
Did I? I'm sorry. Look for Dr. Lanyon's cane, will you, Poole?
Yes, sir.
Of course, I'd rather have this one. I'm fond of canes in sherry. A little dog's head is nicely carved.
Well, perhaps we'll arrange a swap someday.
Well, Dr. Jekyll, good evening.
Good, Sir Andrew.
Hello there.
Where have you been hiding all these weeks?
Hiding? Oh, right here, Sir Andrew, right here.
Well, we've missed you. Mrs. Fielding's dinners aren't the same without Dr. Jekyll.
Well, thank you,
sir. I must
say
it's good to see you, Jekyll.
Utterson, hello.
You're not evading me this time. Been trying to see you all week.
Why, something on your mind?
Not here, old fellow. Come along. We can steal out a few minutes before dinner.
But only a few. I've got a house full of guests, remember. Look, there's nobody here in the laboratory. Down, by the fire.
My word, it does look like you've been working.
Well, it takes a lot of equipment for chemical experiments. Now, what's up?
You should know without asking. That will, of course.
Oh, that.
I don't like it, Jekyll.
You never did.
And especially since I've met your Mr. Hyde. He's a frightful fellow, Jekyll. The other night...
Let's not talk about it, Utterson. It's not as you fancy. I can be rid of Hyde... The moment I choose.
What's the matter?
I was just going to say, let's leave the will as it is. And will you promise me one thing?
What's that?
I still take a great interest in Hyde, and I only ask for justice for you to help him if the time comes when I'm no longer here.
Oh, the whole thing's preposterous, but... And it's a promise. I'll do my best. Well, look here, Jekyll. Are you ill?
No,
but your face, man. Your face.
Don't look at me, Utterson.
Jekyll, wait a minute.
He saw you, Mr. Hyde.
My eyes. Let me alone. Let me alone. You've got to die and stay dead forever.
You're afraid, Mr. Hyde. Afraid of him. Can you kill the strongest force in the world? You've got to have the strength of Hyde to murder the inordinate strength of Hyde. You can't kill me, Jekyll. The good in you can never kill. And I shall never die. Not as long as you can live.
Gentleman came along, and this monster home.
It's all right, Anna.
And the white-haired gentleman just asked about the post, and this monster struck him with his cane, and then kicked him and kicked
Anna?
Him. It was that Hyde monster, Miss Julie.
Oh, but where'd he go?
Well, when I screamed, some people came out from the houses, and he looked round like an animal and then ran away. Oh, he might come back, Miss Julia. Don't let him come back. Don't let him come back.
Here, get back there. What's happened?
The poor blighter, such an old man. He's been murdered, Dr. Lanyon.
Good Lord. It's Sir Andrew Carew.
Looks like he was on his way to the post and some madman attacked him.
Here, you. Call an officer.
Already been called. Look at this.
What is it?
A walking cane. What the murder was done with, most likely. It's broke plumb in two.
Here, let me see that.
Heavy sort of cane. Easy to do a murder with that.
How terrible. Some maniac's done this.
That Mr. Hyde we've heard so much about, and some folks have seen. That's who's done it.
Oh, it's Mr. Hyde.
Sherry cane with a dog's head carved in the handle. Why,
This is Dr. Jekyll's.
Ah, Clark, let me have a room. Any room, quick.
Yes, sir, right away.
And I want a note delivered immediately.
Will you register, sir?
There's a time, I tell you. Give me a room and send me a messenger, quick. Do you want these fingers around your throat, or will you do as I say?
Oh, yes, sir. Sam, show this gentleman up to 210 and wait for a note he wants delivered.
Oh, my word, fingers around my throat. And by golly, I really meant it.
I cannot impress upon you too strongly the importance of this note, Dr. Lanyon. You have been a dear friend, and now my life is in your hands. Go immediately to my house. Poole will admit you. For a cabinet, remove the fourth drawer from the top, with all its contents intact, and take it to your house, where a man will present himself in my name at exactly midnight tonight. You must not fail me. Henry Jekyll. What an extraordinary thing. Well, I've done as Jekyll said. Now we'll see. Oh, right on the dot.
Who's there?
Let me in.
Are you from Jekyll?
Yes, let me in.
Glenn, you got me.
I have, but look here.
You better always talk. Let me have the drawer.
It's in my study, through that door there.
Where is it?
There, on the table.
Have you got a graduated glass?
It's on the shelf beside you, but what are you going to do?
I am going to perform a miracle.
Now look here. Jekyll didn't say anything about... If this is some fiendish thing Jekyll's cooked up, I'll be no partner to it.
Crystals. Salt.
Who are you anyway?
Look at it, Dr. Lanyon.
Man, answer me. Who are you?
You've already guessed that, haven't you? I am Mr. Hyde.
Hyde?
Is your curiosity great enough to watch me drink this potion?
What are you talking about? Huh? Get out of here, you devil!
If you watch me... A new knowledge will be open to you, Dr. Lanyon. And in this room, this instant, your sight will be blasted by a prodigy that would stagger the unbelief of Satan himself.
You're a madman. Get out of my house.
No, watch, Dr. Lanyon, watch.
Jekyll. In heaven's name.
It's you. The birth of a good man before your eyes. Now you see why I hid myself away all those weeks, Dr. Lanyon.
Jekyll, what are you saying?
At first, it took a strong draught of the formula to bring him to life. Weeks ago, that was. But now he's too strong.
Now the Jekyll you see before you hasn't the power to keep him back. 2 hours from now, Dr. Lanyon, I'll be Mr. Hyde again. And no strength of my will can stop it.
Jekyll, you're mad. Leave me alone.
I've got alone. More of the powder, Dr. Lanyon. In heaven's name, don't you see? I've got to find more of the powder. This was the last of it.
Jekyll, have mercy. Let an old man alone.
Together we can do it, Dr. Lanyon. Poole got the powder for me, but the shop where he got it hasn't no more. It must have contained some impurity that did the trick. You've got to help me find out what that impurity was. Dr. Lanyon, you've got to help me murder this evil Hyde in my soul.
Jekyll, stop.
Why?
Stop.
Dr. Lanyon! Dr. Lanyon! No!
Heart cannot stand the wonder of your miracle, Dr. Jekyll. You have killed him. The one man who could save your life is dead.
Jekyll.
God bless you, Mr. Addison, for coming so quickly.
Oh, what on earth's happened, Poole?
I'm sorry, afraid Dr. Jekyll's been murdered, sir.
What? Murdered?
Come with me, sir. Don't make a noise. We mustn't be heard.
But where are you taking me?
Here's a candle, sir. To Dr. Jekyll's laboratory. And if by any chance he asks you in, don't go, Mr. Addison. Don't go.
But how could Jekyll be dead?
Quiet, sir, I beg of you. You see, he's been in the laboratory all day, and he won't come out. And every time I knock, wait, and you shall see. Here's the door.
What is it?
Mr. Addison, sir, asking to see you.
Tell him I can't see anybody.
Yes, sir.
No, Poole, that isn't... Well, that doesn't sound like Jekyll to me.
No, sir, I'm glad to hear you say so, because, Mr. Addison, whatever is in there cries to heaven for help and wails and sobs.
What are you driving at, Poole?
Well, sir, it all began early this morning after they'd found Dr. Lanyon dead.
Yes, I saw him. Such terror in his face.
Well, sir, it was sometimes Dr. Jekyll's way to leave orders on a sheet of paper outside this door. And since early this morning, sir, we've had nothing else except notes and a closed door and food left outside to be smuggled in when nobody was looking. And a dozen times, Mr. Anderson, those notes were sent me flying all over London to wholesale chemists for a certain powder. But every time, soon after I brought it back, there'd be another paper telling me to return it because it wasn't right, sir. And this drug, sir, is wanted very badly.
Then maybe it is Jekyll, Poole. Maybe...
Oh, sir, do you think I wouldn't know my master after 20 years? That thing in there, Mr. Addison, had done away with Dr. Jekyll.
Then who do you think it is in there?
I give you my Bible word, Mr. Addison. It's that monster, Mr. Hyde.
That's what I thought. Come on, we've got to break in.
Yes, sir.
We need an axe, something to pry the door with.
Well, I have the tools here. I've also taken the liberty of sending a footman with the boy around by the by-street entrance, just in case. And I have a gun here.
Good. Can they catch him if he tries to escape?
They can, sir. Here's the axe.
Here. Hold the candle.
Right.
I'm going to knock first.
Right.
Mr. Hyde, will you let me in?
I can't see anybody. Go away.
If you don't open the door, I'm going to break it down.
Utterson, in heaven's name, have mercy. Leave me alone.
Oh, stand back.
If you value your life, stay away.
We're coming in there, Mr. Hyde.
No! If you break down the door, I'll kill you. Do you hear me? I'll kill you. No! Mr. Utterson, wait! I'll unlock the door.
Give me that gun, Poole.
The door's unlocked. Open it and come in if you dare.
Stand behind me, Poole. Yes. I'm going to push it open.
Oh, it's the monster. Mr. Addison has got a knife.
Stay back from us, Mr. Hyde.
Here you see evil incarnate, Mr. Addison. And murder is my forte.
So you have murdered Dr. Jekyll?
Because he wished me dead. Now both of you shall die.
He's coming at us, sir.
Stay back, now, Mr. Hyde.
Mr. Addison, look out.
Now.
Is he dead, sir?
He's dead, Poole.
Then we must find Dr. Jekyll. His body must be here somewhere in the laboratory.
Wait. Look.
It's changing, sir. It's...
You're looking at the shell of an evil soul, Poole, dissolving, turning back to the form of its creator.
But it's Dr. Jekyll. What does it mean, Mr. Utterson?
It means the evil man is dead, Poole. For here lies the better half of his duality. Triumphant.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have brought you the story, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Bellkeeper, toll the bell.
The Weird Circle, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC syndicated broadcast from 1944. According to my research, the earliest known radio adaptation of Robert Louis Stevenson's classic story, it would be adapted again 5 more times on the air during its golden era. You're listening to An Hour of Horror, on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Lights Out from Arch Obler. In a CBS broadcast from December 24th, 1942, the play called Valse Triste.
Lights out, everybody.
It is later than you think.
Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
My name, Arch Obler. Tonight, another in our series of tales of the weird and the unusual. And this one is really unusual. It's about that little god of chance. The one who flips a coin and makes us rich men or beggar men.
And now?
Lights out. Everybody.
You say the world is planned. I say the world is chance.
Sailing, sailing over the bounding main.
Cut it out, Laura. Cut it out. You're rocking the boat.
Babe, this is really fun.
Will you quit doing the Big Apple? This ain't Roxy's. This is a canoe.
Smell that air. Isn't it just terrific?
Yeah, there's too much of it.
Dottie Nelson, don't you talk that way. You know mighty well we came out here to get healthy.
All right. So I'll get healthy even if it kills me.
Sure was a funny way to pick out a place to go on a vacation, wasn't it? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Yeah, and this place was moe. Well, what if we picked out Alaska or Cicero or someplace like that? At least this way.
Oh, Dottie, look.
Look at what?
On the shore over there, all those big flowers.
Flowers? Oh, for Pete's sake, the way you were wiggling, I thought it was Indians.
Come on, let's go pick them.
Okay, by me, as long as you do the paddling.
Hey,
look out, Girl Scout, you're driving over the curb.
Land ho!
Oh, hey, you tear the bottom out of this battleship and we'll have to pay for it.
Oh, I didn't hurt it. Come on, get out and help me pick these posies.
All right. As long as there's no keep off the grass signs.
Dottie Nelson, will you get it through that head of yours that this ain't Central Park? This is honest to gosh wilderness.
Says you. Make mine vanilla with onions.
Aren't they just the loveliest flowers you ever saw?
Two bits were right in the middle of some poison ivy.
Hey, look.
What?
The boat, it's drifting off. Well, catch it, quick.
What do you mean, catch it? I can't swim.
Dot, do something. Do something. Don't just stand
don't
there.
Don't you yell at me. You're the one to blame. You should have pulled the boat higher out of the water.
Oh, Dot, what'll we do? They'll make us pay for it.
Who cares about the boat? I'm worried about us.
Us?
Yes. How are we going to get back to that camp?
Well, we can walk.
Oh, you sure must have strained your brain thinking up that one.
Oh, you needn't get so fresh about it. You certainly don't think
all
I wanted
right,
the boat.
All right, let's hang up the boxing gloves and get out of here.
Dot.
Huh?
How dark it's getting.
So what?
Why is it getting so dark?
Listen, lame brain. I may be just a hillbilly from 10th Avenue, but I know clouds when I see them. So they're clouds. You know, clouds, rain, remember?
I'm scared.
Oh, what have you got to be scared about all of a sudden? Come on. I'll get you back to camp.
No, wait, Dot.
Huh?
That's not the way. We gotta go the other way.
Listen, lame brain, I'll do the pathfinding.
But you're wrong. You're all mixed up. It's the other way.
Is that a path or isn't it?
But there's a path going the other way.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what'll we do?
You go one way and I'll go the other.
Oh, no, we won't. I'm scared. We'll stick together.
Okay, we'll flip for it as usual. I had a nickel. Oh, yeah, here it is. Heads, we take the right-hand path. Tails, we take the left-hand path.
All right.
Okay, call it.
Heads.
Oh, heads it is. Okay, Girl Scout, lead the way.
No, you go first.
Okay, but if this path leads up to the middle of nowhere, so help me, I'm going to pull you apart like a herring.
So dark.
Keep moving.
Wait, Dot.
Well, what's the matter now? Some more posies.
Listen. You hear it?
Help me, a fiddle.
I told you we were heading the right way.
Turn off. over that I told you so record and keep moving? I'm hungry. Keep moving.
All right.
Keep moving.
I'll keep moving.
Well, this must be the front door of the joint.
What fun. How funny.
Oh, what's funny now? That's pretty music.
The place has many windows.
The door's all I care about.
Do you think we ought to disturb whoever's playing?
Disturb is right one side, Lady Gwendolyn. I'll do the knocking.
Doesn't seem to hear us.
Oh, he'll hear me. There, that did it.
Awful thrilling, isn't it?
Okay, you do the thrilling and you'll do the paying if they can't find that boat. Of all the donkeys.
How do you do?
Oh, how do you do? We're sorry to bust in like this.
Well, we sort of lost our way. I mean, our boat, and we thought maybe you could tell us.
Of course, of course. Won't you step in? I'm more than glad to see you.
Well,
of course we will. Come on, Dad.
Okay.
It's going to rain.
Yeah, we found that out.
We certainly were lucky to find this place. We heard you play in the violin.
Now, did you really? If you'll step this way.
Oh, Dot, isn't he the strangest man?
Yeah. Turned his face away.
He must be terribly ugly.
Oh, forget it. Go on, keep moving.
If you'll step in here, I have a small fire going.
Kind of dark.
Yeah.
If you'll do me the honor of being seated.
All right.
Oh, boy, what a chair.
Yes, it's most comfortable. Now, if I might be permitted to introduce myself. I'm John Boyd.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Boyd. I'm Laura, and she's Dottie.
Don't believe me, mister. It's a pleasure. Do my dogs hurt?
May I sit and talk with you? There's so very much to talk about.
Well, we should be getting back to camp.
Oh, no, we got plenty of time. And anyway, mister, you don't know what a lifesaver you were.
Was I? Really?
Anything gets Laura scared as to be in the dark.
All those rain clouds.
And then I must apologize for not having more light here. You see, my eyes...
Oh, that's all right, Mr.
Boy.
I never could remember names. I guess I don't really mind it being dark in here. It's sort of like a nice tea room.
Really?
Don't mind her, Mr. Boyd. She was hit on the head by a bowling ball when very young.
Oh, now, Dot.
Will you listen to that wind?
The storm will come in just a few more moments.
Oh, gives me the willies.
Is your wife home, Mr. Boyd?
I'm quite alone.
Sure must get lonely out here.
It was. Very lonely.
Getting awful dark in here, isn't it?
The storm...
Oh,
don't be alarmed. A door banging in the wind. If you'll excuse me for just a moment, I'll fix it.
Okay. Okay. Dad.
Huh?
Let's get out of here.
Why?
You're scared, too.
Oh, I'm not scared. You look so funny and shadowy in the dark.
Dad.
Huh?
What's that funny smell?
Yeah. I noticed it. Like medicine.
He walks and holds his head so funny.
Hmm. And why does he keep away from the light of the fire?
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, okay. We'll make a run for it before the rain starts.
Okay.
I suggest you stay. Yes, I suggest you stay.
Come on, Dot.
You'd better stay, my dear. The storm, it's close at hand.
Yeah? Well, something tells me I'd rather be out there than in here.
Me too.
Well, I'll be seeing you. Come on, Laura.
Okay. Mister?
Yeah?
Hey, mister, the door's locked.
I know it.
You know it? Hey, listen. That's a big idea, locking that door on us.
You let us out of here, mister.
Mr. Boyd, or whatever your name is, didn't you hear me? What's the big idea, locking the door?
I have some very interesting things to talk about with both of you.
We want to get out of here.
Come on, come on, unlock the door.
We'll scream our heads off.
There's no one around for 15 miles.
Are you going to open that door?
I suggest you sit down.
Give us that key. Now open that door. I tell you...
Dot, why did you...
Sorry, I had to do that. I'm really a very gentle man.
Oh, now, Dot, honey, please don't cry. I'm scared. Please stop crying. Please.
I think we'll understand each other quite clearly now, won't we? Sit down. Sit down, the both of you. Sit down, I say. There. Now that we understand each other so clearly, we can talk with each other quietly now, can't we? You know, I dislike loud talking intensely. You see, I'm really a very gentle man.
Please, Doc, don't cry anymore.
That's excellent advice, my dear Laura, excellent advice. Dottie, I suggest you stop crying.
Doc, please, do as he says. I'm all right.
Of course, you're quite all right. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Let me tell you of Chance. Here I was, a quiet, contented man, sitting here all alone, and yet I was not quite content. Chance brought you here to me, and Chance found me quite discontented. As a man of thorough saneness, as a man of infinite realism, I realize that this fortuitous circumstance of our meeting, chanceful as it might have been, is a welcome opportunity for me.
Opportunity? What?
To fill my loneliness permanently. To get myself a wife.
Wife? Dad, he is crazy.
I suggest, my dear Laura, that you substitute another word, a kindlier one than the one you're using. Oh. Yes, I said, a wife.
Laura, we wouldn't make good wives. Honestly, we wouldn't. We're just a couple of kids, aren't we, Dad?
We may call for a heart, but...
Oh, mister, have a heart, will you? Open the door and let us out of here.
We'll keep our mouths shut. I swear we will.
Mr. Boyd, please.
Please. Mr. Boyd, will you...
Have you quite finished? Then here's my answer. One of you becomes my bride. Oh, yes, my bride. I'm leaving this place shortly. When we reach our destination, one of you will become my wife. Oh, very legally.
One of us?
I marry only one.
Then what about the other?
To the ordinary man, that would be quite a problem now, wouldn't it? But to me, well, I told you I'm a realist, so the answer is quite simple. I marry one, and the other...
The other?
The other dies.
Ladies and gentlemen, two girls apparently are forced to decide between the being who calls himself a gentle man and death. A most difficult choice to make. But before it takes place in tonight's exciting lights-out tale, a deep breath to slow up at least my racing pulse, and a moment more to consider another matter before we return to the story of Vals Triste. It's a matter that's facing many an American today. Listen.
Gosh, they say I'm too old to fight, and it's beginning to look like I'm even too old for this war job of mine. Why, I can't eat or sleep. I'm losing weight, getting more jittery and worn out every day. I sure am discouraged.
Whoa there, don't be so quick to blame your age or your job. Maybe you simply need more vitamin B and iron. You see, when you don't get enough vitamin B from your meals, you may lose your appetite, not eat enough to maintain normal weight and strength. And when you don't get enough iron from your food, you may be weak and washed out, feel only half alive.
Well, if I do need more vitamin B and iron, how can I get them?
The easiest way I know is take ironized yeast tablets. And now back to Lights Out. The two girls have heard the choice. One is to live, and one is to die. And their hysteria has grown with the terror in them. Are you quite through, my dear? How unfortunate. And after I told you how much I disliked loud talking.
Don't hurt him, please, mister.
Hurt you? Well, haven't I told you? I'm really a very gentle man. Oh, yes, much too gentle.
What? What are you going to do?
Now, why do you ask that?
The way you look at it.
I'm trying to decide which one shall live. And which one shall die?
You wouldn't kill us?
Oh, just one, my dear, just one.
Oh, you wouldn't dare. We could both stay with you.
I marry one, the other die.
Mr. Lesson, my family, they've got money. lessons.
Now, just a moment, my dear, just a moment. Money to me?
Well,
and what will I do with it? Oh, no, one of you must die, and this is quite as good a time as any other.
No, no.
You look so amusing. Backs against the wall. Skin on your faces, tight with fright. So white, so fresh and young. And yet, believe me, there's nothing to be afraid of.
You wouldn't kill me. I don't want to die.
Oh, it isn't a matter of want, my dear. It's a matter of judicious selection, like nature itself. You see, sitting out here, I've had a chance to watch nature and understand her. She's very gentle, just like I am. And yet she's quite a realist. Two rabbits run before the fox, one to the right, one to the left. The fox follows one and kills. But which one? It's all a matter of chance. With gentle nature herself, the chooser. And I shall choose between you two.
Oh, die, I tell you, not me. Don't look at me.
It's chance, my dears. Yes, all is chance. Your being there and my being here. All things in heaven and on earth, chance. Chance, all is chance. And so you'll die by chance.
I won't die. I won't die, mister. Please. Please. Let me out of here.
But, my dears, why be afraid? The one that lives, my bride, a calm and peaceful, happy existence. For as you know, I'm really a very gentle man.
You devil, you.
I'll go to my homeland, and there I'll sit and play my violin. Oh, so sweetly and so gently.
I want to live. I've got to live.
And the one that dies, quick, sudden, complete oblivion. So why be afraid?
Mr. Boyd, listen, I'll marry you.
Die.
Sure, sure, I don't want to die. You hear me, Mr. Boyd, I'll marry you.
Oh, no. Then you'll kill me.
Boyd, please, will you
I'll marry you,
mister.
I'll marry you.
No,
I'll marry
you, mister.
Stop.
Marry me.
Stop. Marry me. Now you're making me angry. I don't like loud talking. It isn't good for me. I've been alone too long. Loud talking hurts my head. Why did you do it? Why?
You see what you did? You made me raise my voice, and that isn't good for me. Oh, no, it isn't. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Flattered as I am by your eagerness to marry me, most regretfully, I must refuse. Chance must pick my bride and the bride of death. Here, see, a coin. One chooses heads and one chooses tails. We'll let chance be the chooser.
No.
Quickly, choose. Please don't make me angry. Choose. You, little one, first.
Will you
choose?
Tails.
And that leaves heads for you, eh, Dot, my little friend?
Heads.
Chance, chance, all is chance. Shall one of you flip up a coin? No. No, I think I will myself. High in the air. There. That does it. Landed flat in the palm of my hand. Heads or tails? My bride or the bride of death?
Oh, Laura.
No, don't touch her. Let her lie there. Poor little child. Couldn't stand the strain of waiting, now could she? How unfortunate.
Is it head?
Oh, we must have patience. I'll hold the coin here, flat inside my hand, until your friend recovers. If she lost, it wouldn't be fair to kill her while she's unconscious now, would it?
Is it heads?
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Jim. They're drowned, the both of them.
Yeah, I should have had more sense than to let them have the boat. A couple of city kids like that.
Now, Jim, don't blame yourself. This water's treacherous. Look where the bottom of the canoe stove in. They must have hit a rock and gone right over.
Yeah, neither one of them could swim. They told me that. Oh, this is an awful thing to happen.
Hey, did you wire the sheriff?
Yeah. I will as soon as we get back. Come on, let's keep on going downstream. We've got to find them.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, what's that?
What? Did you hear it? Oh, that. You mean that fiddle playing?
Oh, I know. That's old man Boyd. There's a couple of miles up through the valley. At least I think he does. I've never been up there, though. Hey, the wind makes it sound as if that fiddle's right here.
Yeah.
Well, how about going up and talking to him? Maybe he saw him.
No.
he's way off in the woods. He wouldn't see him.
Well, anyway, let's talk to him.
I tell you, it's no use, Fred. They're drowned, and that's the end of it. Downstream, that's where we'll find their bodies.
Well, at least let's go talk to him.
Why waste the time?
Well, they might have wandered off.
Oh, don't be a fool. Look at the canoe.
Well, at least let's go talk to the guy.
It's a couple of miles over there.
I'll tell you what, we'll flip for it.
Huh?
Heads, we'll go up there. Tails, we'll go downstream.
Oh, okay, okay. You got a coin?
Yeah. Yeah, here. You flip.
Okay.
There. What is it?
Ha-ha. Tails. Well, we save a 2-mile walk.
Ed, you've got to tell me, is it heads?
Patience, patience, my dear daughter. You must have patience. Oh, Laura's waking up. Yes, yes, open your eyes, Laura.
What?
You fainted. Yes, my dear, you fainted. Help her to her feet, Dottie. Help her to her feet.
Come on, Laura. Oh.
Now then, we're all together again once more now, aren't we? You're feeling quite well, aren't you, my dear?
What
was Chance's verdict? Oh, don't worry. It's all quite well.
I live?
Oh, no, the coin is still inside my hand. I waited for you.
Oh.
I knew you'd like it better that way.
Stop torturing me. Tell me. Is it head? Is it head?
Tell us, please. Tell us.
Now, you've made me quite angry. I told you not to shout at me. Very angry. Yes, indeed.
Mister, tell us.
All right. My fingers cramped a little bit from holding them closed so tightly, but now we'll see. Well, interesting indeed.
Which one? Which one?
Remember, I promised one of you the happiness of being my own dear bride.
Yes. Which one?
And remember, I promised the other one would have extinction, quick and sudden.
Oh, which one?
No. Let me ask, which one of you chose Tails?
I did.
Then die.
Oh, no need for tears for her, my dear. She died quite gently. No, no, enough of tears. For since she's dead, it's you who will be my bride.
No, no, I won't.
There is no choice. Chance was the chooser and you the winner. I'm a man who always goes by chance. Now get up to your feet. This one is death's bride. You make it all quite difficult, you do. Why do you persist in making me angry? Chance, chance, all is chance. You'll be my bride, and we'll be quite happy in my homeland when we get there. We'll pack, get to the seashore. No. First, I'll play for you. I play so well now, don't I? Softly, softly. Doesn't the music creep inside of you like long, thin snakes? Oh, what a lonely man I was. Strange thoughts twisting in my head and no one to tell them to. But now I have someone. My thoughts, your thoughts. Yes, yes, your thoughts. And I'll watch the snakes twist in your brain. Now you've made me very angry. I won't play for you again. I won't. And crying loudly, too, when there's no reason. The marriage will be quite legal on shipboard. Shipboard, yes, shipboard. I told you we must hurry. The rendezvous. I've been waiting for months. If we miss this, there'll be no more, and I must get back. And that reminds me, there's something I must tell you. Yes, tell you, because I try to be a fair and gentle man. Come, over by the fire. Come, I say. There. Just light enough. Now come into my arms.
No.
Into my arms, I tell you. There. Close to me. My little bride-to-be. Yes, I shall tell you everything. I suppose you wonder why a man of all my talents and education hides away in this forsaken place for all these months. Well, you shall know the reason. Look at me. Look. Closely. You see, my dear, I had a little accident. I haven't got a face.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah?
There's something I want to tell you.
Yeah, Fred. I know. Shouldn't let him have that canoe.
No. It ain't that fella. It's the coin we flipped a little while ago.
Well?
I gypped you, Fred.
How?
Well, it wasn't tails, it was heads. You won. It's been kind of bothering me, Fred. Come on. Let's go back upstream and talk to old man Boyd the way you said, huh?
Mr. Obler.
All right. I want to say something very quickly to the radio audience. Ladies and gentlemen, believe me, the story you just heard was just a story intended purely for amazement and amusement. The young ladies were purely fictional characters, and the villain existed only for the brief space of the 29 minutes during which you listened to the play. So stop breathing hard, permit your blood pressure to follow its normal, healthy rate, and as soon as Frank Martin tells you about a certain matter, I'll be back to tell you about the fast one.
Friends, don't forget now. If more vitamin B and iron is all you need to help build yourself up, then try ironized yeast tablets. Now, what about next week, Mr. Obler?
Well, it's a mystery story. An amazing series of crimes and hit-and-run accidents which take place in different parts of a certain city, miles apart at the same moment. No one sees the auto strike the victims, no one sees the criminals, there are no clues, and yet the dead litter the streets. But that story is next week.
Lights Out will come to you again next Tuesday at the same time.
Lights Out on Tuned to Yesterday from Christmas Eve, 1942 on CBS. And so closes this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for tuning in.